Today on another bone-chilling episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. The young child's stomach is tied in knots every time they are sent off to visit their grandparents in the deep south. Anxiety and fear caused not because of the living, but because of the dead that seem to infest the family farm that has been standing for more than a century, where night after night, new visitors would be tormented with the actions of the unwelcoming spirits. Could this home's haunting be caused by the thousands of unmarked graves laying nearby? And with that much negativity and death, could this home ever truly be a peaceful place for the living to find rest? That story and many more today on Real Ghost Stories Online.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You are about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That it is, 855-853-4802, our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online, to share your real ghost stories with us. Call it 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Yeah, seriously, you can. Just dial it up, and there you go. You can share your ghost stories. And if you really like the show, you want access to all of our bonus episodes, all of our advanced episodes, basically every episode we ever made of this program, which is now into the several thousand. It's the world's largest audio archive of ghost stories. You can binge away on it, all commercial free. Check out ghostpodcast.com to get all that. Or if you use a Patreon to support shows like this, we are there as well with the same content. Patreon.com/realghoststories. There you go. We appreciate the support. Tony and Harper with you on today's episode of the program. What's going on?
Being an empath has its up and downs as a kid.
Okay.
One of the ups being, I actually have a story for you. So the other day, I was in school at recess, doing my own thing, hanging out away from people.
Okay, so you were like, there was nobody by you.
Pretty much.
Okay, you were like me. Now I'm going to say this. Socializing is healthy and good.
I know, but just that much energy.
I get you.
It can be a little much.
I get you. Okay, so this is the point of the story. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
So the story is, I was minding my own business away from people.
Mm-hmm.
On like the other side of the playground. And then all of a sudden, like a boy starts charging at me, like about to push me.
Mm-hmm.
I ended up getting pushed onto the ground. Now this guy charges back at me, but this time I'm ready. So I grab his hands and I push him to the down. Because of a lot of energy that was going around, it kind of helped me a lot.
Are you saying you got superpowers?
No, I'm saying that, like, the energy, like, coursing through him.
Okay.
Really helped me.
Like you bounced it back at him?
Yes.
Is that what you're saying? Okay, so the way he kind of came at... Why did he come at you to begin with?
I don't know. Okay.
And then what happened?
He backed off.
He just walked away?
He ran away.
Okay. All right. Well, there you go. I learn new things every day on the show, and that was a new one I just learned with all of you. So.
Hey.
All right. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. Let's go to a letter. It says, "Hey guys, my story starts when I was pretty young. I can't remember how old I was. My great grandparents lived in a farmhouse which had been owned by my two great grandparents. So the house was extremely old. As a child, every time we traveled from Texas to Mississippi to visit them, the house always put my stomach in knots. I can remember being so scared to be alone in the house or to sleep alone during visits because I've always felt like I was being watched. Little did I know, my first paranormal experience would occur in that house. As my sisters and I fell asleep in the living room one night, I had a dream that I'd never forget. In their living room, I had slept next to the window that looked outside, with their huge fig tree in view. In the dream, I had woken up to see my sister still asleep and in slow motion. I turned my head, peered through the blinds, and outside by the fig tree was a man in a Confederate uniform standing there, just staring. It was one of those dreams that felt so real. I was unsure if the dream had actually been a dream. I wanted to tell my sisters and parents, but decided against it. Throughout the years, we'd visit the house, and I'd have the same dream every time. The soldier standing next to the fig tree, staring into my soul. It was as if he wanted to show me something, or maybe tell me something, but I never knew what. Fast forward a few years, and both my great-grandparents had passed away, so the house was empty. We decided to stay in the house rather than paying for a hotel during a visit. As my family was headed to bed one night, my parents slept in a pull-out couch in the living room while my two sisters decided to sleep on a cot in the living room floor. There ended up being a bed in my great-uncle's room, who had, at the time, passed away a few years before. I remember not feeling scared of the house at this point because I was in middle school and wasn't fazed by anything. So I decided to sleep in his room at the back of the house by myself. It was comfortable at first, and I slept peacefully for a few hours, only until I was awakened by an object being shoved off a dresser 2 feet in front of me and almost hitting my face, as if someone or something was trying to get my attention. I remember waking up in fear because there was no one in the room except me. There was no possible way that the object, a perfume bottle, could have fallen off the dresser with that much force, so it had to have been pushed. When that thought clicked, the room began to feel dark, and all I can remember is taking off down the hallway to the safety of the living room. From the living room, I could see into the bedroom and remember it seeming like something was watching me from the shadows. I hardly slept that night. That visit was the last visit I've had to the farmhouse in years. I'm 22 years old now, and because of my experience, I became extremely interested in history. My first historical interest was actually the Civil War. After doing some research on my great-grandparents' farmhouse, it was discovered that a Civil War battle had taken place in their town, Tupelo, Mississippi. And a hospital filled with wounded soldiers from the battle was in the field my great-grandparents' farm was on. There had been so many casualties that they ran out of coffins and had to bury men in wheelbarrows. So to this day, there are unmarked graves all throughout the field just waiting to be saved. I sometimes wonder, was this what the soldier in my dreams wanted me to do? Is he one of the unlucky few buried in the field? I continue to do research on the home, but haven't been able to give the men a proper burial. It is one of my life goals to be able to do so. I know it wasn't a scary story, but it changed my life. These paranormal experiences were only the first of a string of paranormal events in my life. I hope to submit them soon, but for now, meantime, I love the show. You guys do such a good job. Keep up the good work.
I wonder, like, if the soldier in your dream was like watching over you in a good way or watching over you in a bad way.
How so?
Like watching you as if in like waiting for the right moment to like do something.
Like what?
Demonic.
Okay.
Cause
like what? Eat the cat? Come home and the cat's like,
I know,
in
but then there's like a lot of things where it can represent itself as like something trustworthy.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But without really knowing what it truly is.
Yeah. I mean, I think you run that risk with anything that we're talking about on this show ever.
That's why I'm putting it out there. Just kind
of
like,
Harper's there to put that little shadow of a doubt in your mind and make you go from what you thought was a peaceful situation to possibly something
demonic.
Demonic. Demonic. Demonic. Demonic. Yeah, okay. So you can thank Harper. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online.
Yep.
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 Show enough. Yeah.
Yep. We've heard it a million times.
Okay.
Yep.
Well, yes, that's how you have to remind people that it exists. So they call and they share their ghost stories with us. Because if they don't remember, then you don't get ghost stories.
Okay, so. Then let me do it for once.
Okay, go ahead.
855-853.
Slow it down. Slow it down, child.
855-853-4802.
Clearer. You slurred those words. You slurred those numbers.
855-853-4802 is our phone number.
Too quick on the end. This is what an air check is like. This is what, when I was in radio, you would have somebody like in a corner office, and sometimes they were great and they really gave you amazing pointers, and I had several that did. In fact, one of them is a co-host on this show, Todd Michaels. He was completely instrumental in me getting started and gave me so many good pointers. But then there was plenty where it was literally like, you'll never get that hour of your life back. Because number one, these people were absolutely horrible on the air. So you're like, how is someone who's absolutely horrible on the air going to tell me how to do better? I was seeking out, how do I get better? But like, you gotta respect the person. You know, it's like if you're like a race car driver or something, or something where like whoever you're getting from, you have to respect. That was always a mess. But half of it's like, oh, what if you said it more like this?
855-853.
Say it like 855-855.
855?
No.
We don't do that.
Because we've been saying it this way forever, and people are used to hearing it. And there would just be like these random suggestions. Okay, so you say your name's Tony Bruschi, right? Hey, I'm Tony Bruschi. So say it more, say it with more inflection. Say it with, I'm Tony Bruschi. You know, it's like shit like that. Like it would just be sometimes very...
We're not NASCAR drivers.
What I was giving you was like what Todd would give me, where it's like, back it up, back it up, back it up. Like, get the basics down. And you do them very well.
Okay.
For 9. But being clear on those things is super key. But the other shit, it's like, just be yourself.
855-853-4802 is our phone number here if you want to call in or write in.
Write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. Yep.
Yep.
There you go. So,
finally.
Yeah. So, there you go. That's
I said it.
Well, inside radio on how all that insanity works. I should send our show. I should have Todd air check you. I should send it to him, like, because he's the one. I mean, he helped me, and not that you really needed all that much. You're miles beyond where I was at 9. Oh, my God. I've heard me playing radio station at this age, and it was like, oh, I think I had a speech impediment. I look at my parents and I go, how did you not like go get me some help for this? I never heard it until I was watching old videos of me. I'm like, oh my God, what was going on? And honestly, I think the person who probably broke it out of me was Todd, with him helping me through, he was almost like a speech therapist, I guess. I never noticed it, though.
Special shout out to Todd.
Yeah.
Helping Dad speech.
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy. But it's amazing that he's on the show now. Anyway, 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. Next story says, my ghost story goes back as far as the mid-80s. I was about 14 years old. We lived in a medium-sized home in Durham in the eastern province of Saudi Arabia. My late father was a very hardworking person, never stayed home. My mother traveled a lot, too. We had a Filipina named Sonia. She had been with us for years, and she was part of our family. Sonia was a very nice person, kind, calm, and very patient. She was responsible for every aspect of our lives. We could never imagine our lives without her. In the summer, school was out, and Sonia used to take 2 weeks vacation to visit her family in the Philippines. Dad was never home, and Mom never in the country. It was only me, my older sister, and my kid brother. We used to stay up late all night watching TV. Wait till it's dawn and then crash to bed. One night, Dad came home early and went to be before midnight. My kid brother was sound asleep, and it was me and my sister up watching TV. It was almost dawn when I had my first experience with a paranormal apparition. I needed to go to the bathroom. It was at the end of a long, dark, and creepy corridor. Halfway through, the corridor had a wide doorway to a guest room. It was a double door with no doors attached to it. When walking through, past the doorway, I immediately froze. The guest room was dimly lit from the outside lights. I noticed something that made my heart beat so fast. There was a figure in that room. I walked two steps backwards and kept my body oriented forward, but looked to my right to make sure it was there. And it was. It was difficult to breathe. The fear was overwhelming. I can see a figure wearing a white female hijab, a headscarf. I can make out a female face. And to my shock, it was Sonia, and she was smiling at me. Couldn't even scream. My tongue was tied. She was a typical Saudi female, but she had no feet. She was floating about a foot high across the room. I ran to my dad and woke him. He started cursing at me and telling me to go to sleep and stop watching TV. My sister heard me talking to Dad and rushed to his bedroom. Having crossed the corridor like I did earlier, I was inevitable that she saw her too. She started screaming and ran towards us. Dad got up and got really angry. We were so scared. He walked to the guest room, and to our relief, there was nothing. Dad got even angrier and took it out on us. We never slept that day. We dragged our mattress and stayed my dad's bedroom for the next few days. After that, we flew home on our summer vacation. My sister and I were over the edge and over the experience. Always scared us, never leaving our room at night. At the end of summer vacation, we flew back to Saudi. Dad was there at the airport to pick us up. He sure had a lot to say. We were still in the parking lot. Dad turned to me in back seat and looked sad. He said, and I quote his words, "I'm sorry I made fun of your fears, son. I saw her too." He said a few days later, after we left, it was dark, quiet, and calm. He was in bed and getting ready to sleep. Looking around his bedroom, there she was, floating a foot high at his doorway. He froze, staring at her as she smiled. It took him a few minutes to be able to get up, open the window, and jump out to the backyard. He ran to his car and spent the next few nights at his brother's place. A few days later, he went to the airport to pick Sonia up. She was so excited to see. We were even more excited to tell her about her ghostly appearance. As they were telling her the course of events that took place, she became terrified as hell. To her shock, she revealed an experience she'd had all summer long. She had a recurrent dream. Every night, she dreamt she was walking in our house every night from room to room. Sonia stayed with us for another few years, but nothing like this ever happened again. It was an experience I'd never, ever forget. Even my late dad used to mention her in his deathbed, despite being in late stages of Alzheimer's disease. To this day, I always dread dawn. I can't leave bed when it's dawn. I tell my kids about it, and my sister tells her kids about it too. Thank you for giving me a chance to share my story with you. I'm a big fan of the show. I look forward to hearing more stories on your podcast.
I wonder who it really was. Because, like, it was dressing up as, like, the character. Mm-hmm. That's still alive and not dead. But it's almost projecting what she's dreaming.
Mm-hmm.
Going from room to room every night in her house.
So what is it? What does it want?
Is the question we asked today on Real Ghost Stories Online.
I don't know. I mean, it's interesting that it's, you know, they had it over and over. It seems like a residual thing, though. I mean, because it doesn't seem to have necessarily being influenced by anything in the current time.
Yeah. It's two perspectives. The living version and whatever the freak that was.
Mm-hmm. No, very bizarre story. Thank you for sharing that. 855-853-4802, our phone number. You're at Real Ghost Stories Online. Hi.
Hi, this is Hi, Tony. Hi, Carol. This is Jess from South Carolina. I've tried to record a couple times, so if you get this multiple times, I'm so sorry. Anyways, I'm just going to jump right into it. I love your show. I'm a longtime listener. And I wanted to tell you a story about my sister's first house. So this is actually while she was in school, she decided to move into a house off campus with a group of her friends. I have a long story, so I don't know if maybe this is too long for a recording and I need to write it in, but we'll give it one last try and then try to write it in if this doesn't work. But I have always been sensitive to energy. It's not something I embrace. It's not something that I necessarily like. But basically, if something has happened in an area, negative, usually, I tend to feel it physically. It's just something that's always happened. I've kind of also always been, I wouldn't say open to spirit, but I've always known they exist. I've never questioned it. One of my earliest memories was lying in my bed while a lady kind of floated around out my second story bedroom window. It's just kind of always been with me. It's not something I like, not something I want to develop or anything. It's just there. But my sister, going back to her, this was a time where things were going really great for me personally and for her as well. She was really happy. She was a super bubbly person, very extroverted. She had a ton of friends and just was really kind of enjoying her, you know, young adulthood. But she was also very focused on school. So this house was about half an hour outside of her college. It was not super far away. It was also about half an hour from me, which was like the opposite direction. I had a lot of her things at my house. So she had invited me to come and see her new house, and I thought I would go ahead and bring a box of her things as well, or as much as I could fit in my car. So I packed up a bunch of her stuff to take to her. I thought it would be helpful for her. And as I started on my way, immediately I realized this was not going to be just a regular drive to my sister's brand new awesome house that she was super excited about. The air around me thickened the closer that I got to this house. There was also some strange light things, I guess. I don't really know how to describe it other than, you know, it was a really bright sunny day outside and I could see that it was a really bright sunny day, but the closer that I drove to this place, the darker it looked. And I know that sounds crazy and I know it sounds weird, but it was almost like I could see a film, like the energy of where I was going was just darker than the rest of, or well, than reality, I guess. And I think maybe I was just sensing it. I obviously wasn't, well, it looked dark, but I also knew it was just bright and sunny outside. Almost right before I turn onto the street where this house was located, I have what I can only describe as a panic attack. It was difficult to breathe. My heart started palpitating. I don't get panic attacks. I didn't get panic attacks. It wasn't something normal for me. But I did. It was very difficult. It was hard to breathe. It was very hard to drive. I actually ended up having to pull off on the side of the road and take some breaths and try to calm down. My senses were like on overload. I just kept feeling this gut-wrenching sadness, like being hit in the gut over and over again with this terrible, terrible sadness. It was despair. It was despair. And it was horrible. After I got it together and turned onto the street, you know, the air continued to be thick. The darkness continued to kind of also thicken. And that sadness just lingered. It did not go away. The strange thing about this house is it was a nice brick house, an older home, but not super old. But it kind of shared a driveway with a church, which was right next door to it. Now, this wasn't an old church. It was a modern era church. There was no cemetery. There was no graveyard, just a big open field type thing. But her driveway and the church's driveway kind of shared the beginning, and then they split off from each other. So I say that because it was just strange, because you could feel the energy of the church as like this, but it was like black and white, or, you know, light and darkness. It was just the feeling from the driveway was so polarizing that I could feel. It was very strange. So I end up parking the car and needing to take a little bit more time to kind of get myself together, because I really did not want to get out of the car. Like, I didn't want to look at the house. I didn't want to step foot on the property. I did not want to be there. I did not, which was really sad, because my sister was very excited about this house. This was, you know, a whole new thing for her, and I wanted to be really happy for her, but I just, it was so hard. I end up getting out of the car, and she had asked me to come through the back. This place had this really beautiful, actually, backyard. It was a fenced-in yard. I went through the gate on the side of the house, and the whole back part of the house was, half of it was this big sunroom that had open windows, all the things that you would assume to be very light and airy and put a whole lot of light into the house was there. A big sliding glass door was where the this sunroom kind of ended, and it opened onto this small little porch with steps that you that led into the backyard. I get onto the steps, and I don't even get to the sliding glass door, and immediately I collapse. It was like a freight train that hit me. It was just like powerfully, I was standing and then boom, I was just on the ground. It was just like, I didn't even know what had happened. It happened so fast. I wasn't physically injured, but that's what it felt like this, like a freight train had just knocked me over. My sister's box went, a lot of her things, kind of fell all over the place. My sister obviously heard me fall and ran through the sliding glass door out the back to make sure I was okay. As she's helping me up, she keeps asking me, "What's wrong? What's wrong? Are you okay? What happened? Why are you crying?" I didn't even realize I was crying. I didn't realize I didn't feel anything physically. I didn't feel like I was injured, but I was. I was in tears. And I didn't realize that until she said something about it. And when she said it, I realized, oh my gosh, I am definitely crying. There were tears coming down my face. That was also very strange for me. I'm not someone that gets overly emotional a lot at all. It's not something that's just in my nature. So it alarmed my sister. And the only thing that I could get out of my mouth, the only sentence or words I could form was, "What happened here?" And it kind of took her aback, and she took a minute and then looked at me, really looked at me, and realized I was having an energy thing. Something was wrong. You know, this is my sister. She grew up with me. she knows my history. She knows, you know, I'm not exactly normal, I guess. And she told me, well, you know, this place was owned by an older lady and she passed away suddenly. So maybe that's kind of what's going on. You think that's what's going on? And I just agreed with her. Yeah, that's probably what's going on. It's probably just maybe her family's sadness that I'm feeling. I don't know. Or maybe I'm just coming down with something and this, you know, lady's energy is also there. I don't know. I tried to play it off. I didn't want to ruin her moment. This was a moment for her. So I, you know, I picked everything up. I did not go into the house. I couldn't make myself do it. As thick as the energy was on the porch, in the background, like looking at her being framed in the back by the sunroom, which I could physically see, like there was lots of light in the house, but that film was there and it was so thick in the house. It was just so dark. And you know, I'm really, really sorry that I didn't say more, but I did tell her that she needed to be careful. I did tell her that she needed to be careful and to make sure, you know, she watched out, that there was sad energy there. I end up leaving. I did not go in the house. I told her I would come back another time.
And that's where it ends.
And that was definitely more than, like, an old lady passing away based off of that energy and saying, what happened here? That is just, that's something more.
Mm-hmm.
Like, more and more. Like, demonic murder. More.
That might be a bit much than more. People don't really, like, seek that out. It's not like, let's have demonic murder added to the list.
Not sticking it out, but just how she was having such heavy, like, instincts, like, telling her not to go there on the entire drive there.
Mm-hmm.
That's already telling you something bad happened.
Listen to the voice. Listen to the instincts.
Yes.
Yeah, I agree. All right, that's going to wrap up today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. If you like the show, keep us on the air. Become an extra podcast person. Sign up at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. Get access to all the bonus episodes, advanced episodes, and so much more. We greatly appreciate that support. Until next time, for Harper and all of us at Real Ghost Stories Online, I'm Tony Bruschi. Thanks for listening.